This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, concerned about legislative developments over the non-medical use of cannabis around the world, the International Narcotics Control Board, or INCB, warned on Tuesday that poorly regulated medical cannabis programs could allow supplies to be diverted illegally for purely recreational use, harming, not helping, users. That's one of the warnings contained in the INCB's annual report, which is calling on governments to do more to ensure pain relief and other medicine is available to all those in need. Professor Richard Matic, a board member of the INCB, spoke to Julia Dean from the UN Information Centre in Canberra, Australia, and said that the dangers associated with regular recreational use of cannabis were not properly understood.
There is internationally, and there's a move to make cannabis plant material available. And the plant material has a range of good things and bad things in it. And what we should be focusing on is getting those pure compounds into medicines which can help people rather than smoking or eating cannabis, which has a range of dangers associated with it.
Do you think this is widely known?
I think there's misinformation and that people think now that cannabis is some kind of herbal remedy. And that's not true. Cannabis can cause psychosis. It can cause dependence. Nonetheless, there are some compounds in the plant which really are beneficial for some particular conditions.
So you're calling for more safety and regulation?
Yes, it's what we expect of all of our sophisticated societies, that the regulatory bodies, the government, protects us from the harmful bits and makes sure the medicines we get are pure and safe and don't cause untoward effects.
On another area in terms of pain relief, how dire is the lack of pain relief medication in some parts of the world?
Well, for the rich world, it's not a problem at all. In fact, we probably have oversupply, but if you live in South Asia, East Asia, West Asia, Africa, much of South America, much of the world has literally no strong opioids. If you're dying of cancerous pain or if you are a burns victim with intense excruciating pain, you will not get pain relief. The best you'll get is Panadol or Paracetamol, as it's better known.
What is the reason for this and what are the solutions?
The reasons are partly cultural, but substantially financial, and to do with the ability of countries to source and to distribute the medicines. It's quite complex. It goes from everything from doctor training through to the affordability of medicines. I will make a point that the pharmaceutical industry increasingly wants to sell expensive designer opioids rather than cheap morphine. Cheap morphine is really very effective, but the pharmaceutical companies don't want to supply it because they can't make money out of it.
And you call for more support in Afghanistan. Why?
Because of the increasing acreage of the opioid poppy there, which is used to make opium and then heroin. And the Taliban political situation there is creating such a problem in terms of ability of the Afghani government to deal with the growth of these crops that we need international assistance, both financial and practical, to deal with the eradication of the crops and substitution with different crops in that country. The Afghanistan government cannot do it on its own.
And just moving on to regional areas, particularly Oceania in our region, your report notes the low adherence to the drug conventions in this region. And what are the repercussions to this?
Well, they're twofold. One is that those countries, their Pacific Island states, don't have strong relationships with the UN, so they can estimate and import potent drugs. But secondly, they don't have the legal frameworks which allow for relationships with countries like Australia, where there's a need for extradition, where there's been drug trafficking occurring into Australia through the island states. So there are legal framework issues and there are availability of medicine issues which create problems both for the island states but also for Australia.
And what type of problems?
Just simply extradition of the drug smugglers to a country like Australia where they could be better prosecuted, actual prosecution of them. But the more important thing from the point of view of the island states ignoring Australia is that they don't have the frameworks for estimating their needs for opioids and other controlled medicines, nor the relationship with the UN to arrange for that to occur. All these medicines are controlled by the United Nations.
And your report also notes that drug-related deaths in Australia are at their highest level since 1990s. Why is this?
Particularly because of the availability of prescribed opioids. The leading cause of drug-related death in Australia currently is oxycodone, often mixed with what are called benzodiazepines like Valium or diazepam. They have overtaken the deaths from heroin, so it's the prescribed opioids which are been freely, increasingly prescribed over the last 15 years, particularly since about the early 2000s, which are causing death. These deaths are caused by doctors with good intent prescribing them to people who often have chronic pain but don't need long-term opioids. They need better pain management with non-opioid treatments.
So the oxycodone, is that, just clarifying it, is that being sold on the market?
Yes, it's registered in Australia for pain relief. But prior to about 2000, you couldn't get these potent opioids unless you were dying of cancerous pain or unless you'd been to a pain clinic and had intractable pain which could not be dealt with otherwise. Now, if you present to your general practitioner with a bit of back pain, the general practitioner will give you endone or other potent opioids, which really are not very useful, particularly after a few weeks.
And how will this report assist in rising to some of these challenges?
Well, the report from the INCB, or the International Narcotic Control Board, is greatly valued by countries around the world, particularly developing countries, to guide their policy. It also speaks to the UN General Assembly, and the General Assembly in 2016 endorsed the board's actions, particularly with regard to availability. So we are in continual dialogue with the General Assembly processes about progress, and we'll be reporting in this year about progress against the goals set up with the General Assembly in 2016.
And as an Australian member of the INCP board, what is your main worry in the region, Australia and the Pacific?
The big issue for the rich countries, Australia and New Zealand, is oversupply of opioids. The issue for the poor countries is absolute lack of it or very, very limited supplies. And really, you need to appreciate that people are dying of cancer pain and in excruciating pain. We take it for granted that we'll be treated, but if you're in these other countries, you will not receive adequate care. And they're the two burning issues.
And what would your call for action be then?
I think that the rich countries need to put pressure onto the pharmaceutical industry to provide affordable medicines. I think that the governments in rich countries need to be very vigilant about not causing death or harm by oversupply of opioids.